All right, everyone, welcome to Reflections on Patriotism, a mini series by the Hauenstein Center. I'm Maddie. I work at the Hauenstein Center as the media specialist. And in preparation for our upcoming event on April 18th, which is called the same name as this podcast, Reflections on Patriotism, my colleague Kaylor and I came up with the idea to do a mini podcast series on this topic. So I'll throw it over to Kaylor to tell us more about the event.
So I'm Kaylor Sweeney. I'm the Common Ground Initiative Program Manager at the Hauenstein Center. This event is going to be a really interesting cap to our year of programming through the Common Ground Initiative. It's going to feature a panel conversation with Yale political science professor Stephen B. Smith, former USA Today columnist Cal Thomas, and historian and novelist Elizabeth Cobb. So they're going to have a great panel conversation on talking about many of the same questions that we're going to have today with a few of the people in our orbit here at the Hauenstein Center. More information about the event will be in the description of this episode. All right, so now we're going to get into it. We're going to introduce our guests. So let me start by welcoming colleague of Maddie and I, Abby Sachs. Thank you for being here.
I'm happy to be here. As Kaylor said, my name is Abby Sachs. I serve as the program manager for the Peter C. Cook Leadership Academy here at the Hauenstein Center at Grand Valley State University. Some other things about me that I feel like are relevant. I am a millennial and I have lived in a lot of places in the United States. I was born in New York, raised in Southwest Ohio, and then lived in Georgia for a while and now live in Michigan.
Welcome, Abby. We're also joined by Shelley Irwin of the Shelley Irwin Radio Show over at WGVU. Shelley, thank you for joining us today.
You're quite welcome. You got me on the other side of the mic, as they say. Yes, honored to bring voices to the microphone with the Shelley Irwin Show from 9 to 10, a wide variety of what's happening in the community, who's coming to town, and obviously why you should get involved. So it was a dream that I chased as my second career, and I haven't stopped. I'm going on 22 and a half years here at Grand Valley. So there could be 22 and a half more years.
We can hope.
No
we
comment.
Awesome. Thank you, Shelley. And finally, I want to welcome Dr. Neil Buckwalter, a professor here at Grand Valley State University in the public administration program.
That's right. Thank you, Kaylor and Maddie. And it's nice to be here with Abby and with Shelley. And my name is Neil Buckwalter. I'm the director of the Master of Public Administration degree program at Grand Valley State University. And I'm a faculty member in the School of Community Leadership and Development. And I'm glad to be having this conversation about patriotism and what it looks like, what it means, how we envision it. And I've been at Grand Valley State University for 12 years. And I was actually really curious about your journey, Abby, mentioning different places you've lived. I'm originally from Utah. I've worked in Washington State. I've worked in Indiana, lived there for 7 years, and been in Michigan since then. So been around a little bit and seen some different things.
Awesome. Well, thank you all for being here today. We are so excited to kick off this mini series with all three of you. The first question we're going to ask is, do you consider yourself a patriot? And I'll throw that over to Shelley first.
Yes, I do. And let me jump off of my homework. One of the definitions of patriotism is the feeling of love, devotion, and a sense of attachment to a country or state. And I'm going to add, or community. My service to the community is through my day job, in addition to some multiple boards and committees, and I take each of them seriously, and I believe in the power of service. So you can call me a patriot.
I love what Shelley just said. You can call me a patriot too. If by that definition of love of country and community, I love that you added that. Absolutely. I'm striving to be a patriot.
Yeah. I self-disclosed don't think about whether or not I'm a patriot often. That's not a word that I throw around. That's not like something that I think people that I know or that are in my circles talk about a lot, is this idea of patriotism. Also growing up in the era that I did, I think that that was like an interesting turning point in what patriotism meant. It was kind of like from devotion in a good way to devotion in a bad, toxic way, right? Mm-hmm. Of like, you have to be supportive even if there are things that you don't agree with or that are critical of. So I was really challenged being asked to be on this podcast to think about patriotism, because honestly, I just don't. I just kind of like operate within the closer circles, like Shelley said, kind of the communities that I exist within, which are obviously like a part of our country and are unique to our country. So maybe undecided is where I would land.
I think that is an important thing to note, because that's actually how this podcast was kind of born, between a conversation of Kaylor and I. Mm-hmm. Kaylor asked me, do you consider yourself patriotic? And I was like, well, I've literally never thought about it before. So that's actually kind of how this podcast was born.
Right. And that came from, you know, Stephen Smith, who's joining us for the event, wrote an amazing book. And one of the anecdotes that he shares, that he's at like a party with his Yale colleagues, right? So rather elite, traditionally more progressive group, and the host pitched to everyone, like, let's just get the conversation started. Like, who here considers themselves patriotic? It must be like a 4th of July party or something like that. And he said, wow, did that like send a chill through the whole gathering? Because it's like, wow, that seems very charged. It seems political. And it almost seems like it's hard to say one way or another, especially in a group like that, right? So we found that would generate a lot of interesting conversations. So, and I think, Abby, we can always check in later on and see. Maybe we'll
hear a final conclusion.
I'm willing to be persuaded. I'm certainly open to the idea. I'm sitting with four people with Maddie and Kaylor as well, that I really respect, who, you know, are part of this community and this country. So I'm very open to being swayed in either direction. I don't know if anyone is.
You know, you said self-disclose. I'll self-disclose, though, that I don't have a flag on my house. I don't wear my little flag pin. I guess as we expand, is that a requirement? I've had my share of July 4th parties, that's for sure. But must I wear a flag to be a patriot?
Yeah, I mean, one of the questions I was planning on asking is, what kinds of things come to your mind when you hear the word patriotic or patriotism or being a patriot? What kinds of things do you guys feel like are associated with that, good or bad?
I would totally say the flag. Like, you just like a montage, right, of like monster trucks and red, white, and blue and streamers and people wearing American flag shirts and sunglasses and really just any Midwestern 4th of July parade, I guess. But yeah, those are like kind of, I think, the symbols of patriotism, at least for us, you know, in this era of America.
Yeah, I think those are all interesting trappings of patriotism, the outward symbols, the parades, the flag. They're very, I think, very important, and people have deep connections to those one way or the other, maybe, or perhaps no connection at all. When I, as you mentioned that, Abby, I picture every single 4th of July, a little small town in Idaho. We go home and visit my wife's parents. We always go to this incredible parade. It's not like Macy's, you know, elaborate parade. These are everyday working folks who take that day and they celebrate and they pull their tractors through town and other things. But there is a sense of unity and community in that event that I just find to be really uplifting.
As a having some Indiana roots, there was the July 4th 5K every year that we did. That was important too. So yes, community. I'll just throw out a couple of terms. You mentioned the flag, allegiance, loyalty, devotion.
When I was reflecting on this, and I guess I look at it kind of as a relationship, like, what is my relationship to America in the way that I'd have a relationship with my husband or my sister or anyone else in my life? And reflecting on those words, when we think about loyalty, when we think about allegiance and devotion to a person, that is where I get kind of caught up with, like, also the acknowledgement that America is not a perfect place and has some dark history and has some, you know, systemic issues. And so, not to say that every person that I love is a perfect person who doesn't have those issues, but how do I navigate like feeling that sense of community and unity? Like, when we think of a 4th of July parade or like those things, we think of the people we're doing it with, right? Like, you wouldn't like have a 4th of July grill out by yourself. That'd be really, I mean, maybe it'd be nice, but maybe it also would be a little sad.
Animals help.
Yeah. Yeah. So like that loyalty, is it okay to be, I guess, unquestioningly loyal towards something that maybe you feel has issues or that you want to be better. It's maybe not like how you imagined you would love America to be.
Another of my homework as a definition of patriotism, supporting and loving our country, even when it's going through rough or difficult times.
Mm-hmm. I think there's an element of geography, right? So people talked about community. So to what extent is it simply because that's where we are? Because that seems separate from this, you know, it's the basis form of the relationship that Abby talked about, right? It's where we live. It's where we, you know, work. It's the people that we know. It's the communities. It's our families, you know, fall under this larger, you know, American umbrella because we live here. Geographically, we are here. So I think that's a great question, though, to say, to what extent do you think patriotism needs to go beyond that to having a special connection that's unique only to the United States? Could you find a similar connection if you were to go to a different country, if you were to emigrate? Or is there something unique about the American experience that speaks to your own story, your own culture, your own politics, your own experiences? Can it be divorced from this context of, you know, where I think for all of us, we grew up here and had that experience? What about in an international context?
I'm going to jump right into that. 9/11, I was in Germany working for radio production. And obviously did not experience the patriotism that was had here, if we can go there. Obviously, that was a rough time. But our country, I think, pulled together, at least for that next week or so, versus the parties went on. You know, we received a nice note from our hotel manager, but I didn't feel everyone coming together on that particular day. So that was just an international, not that I, you know, maybe I did wish that I was back home and feeling a love for our country even more from a major disaster. So that was where patriotism took on maybe a very personal versus in another country that, mm-hmm. that was absent.
What was that like having to tune into everything that was happening from a distance?
It was, well, of course, you're wondering, how do we get home, although we weren't planning for the next 3 or 4 days anyway. It was, and it was that time when you really didn't text people, and I mean, email was just starting, I think, in my world for sure, and you just were isolated. There were only three of us there, and so it was just such that you just did not feel that connection, so you had to... think about it. Now, we had televisions, obviously, and there was a time difference, of course. But it was different than it would have been here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kaylor, I know you asked a specific question, but I'm going to jump off on something that Shelley was, you know, you brought up 9/11. Yeah. And I was thinking about, as you discussed that, just 2 weeks prior to that, when that happened, my wife and I had gotten married. The world looked just endlessly hopeful and, you know, it was going to be bliss from here on out. And then 2 weeks later, we're heading up to campus. I dropped her off at her building, was going to park the car, and I was going to class and heard on the radio that, you know, that morning, wait, what's going on? Airplanes where? How's this happening? And I think there was a... You know, there's a lot that's been written and said about that particular event as a galvanizing event in terms of identity and patriotism in the United States. But was it an enduring sense of patriotism? And I think there's also been a lot written that it really dissipated and kind of quickly over a few years. And that sense of connection and loyalty, you know, may have changed over time. It's interesting how events and communities shape or reshape. It's not a static state, I don't think, of I'm patriotic. It's things change, and it's a very dynamic state, and you're adjusting and redefining yourself and within your context.
So. Dare we ask where you were 9/11?
I was in, I think, the fourth grade.
Yeah, it's where I thought we were going.
And my only very vivid memory, I don't have, like, stories of, like, teachers turning the TV on in class. I don't really remember the day or even maybe the couple of days following it. But I do remember, this is such a strange story, everyone on my school bus going home, we would sing God Bless America. We would get on the bus and we would sing God Bless America at the top of our lungs the whole bus ride. Like every single kid would just be leaning out the window singing. And I don't know why that started. I don't remember why that happened. It was a very long time ago. But that was like our tiny little fourth grade brains ideas of like how we could contribute to the sense. Like, I think that, you know, we acknowledged that there was a sense that something was lost and, you know.
We said the Pledge of Allegiance every day in fourth grade, fifth grade. I don't know if that's happening now, but that was what we did. Mm-hmm. Do we do that now? I don't know. Do kids
I did for
do
my
that
first
now?
Few years okay. Of elementary school. I do recall saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, I think I did too.
So does that shape us to the groundwork for being a patriot? And
I think it does. And to your question, I have children in grade schools. I don't believe they're saying the Pledge of Allegiance every day. Not like the same way that we did when we were coming up in grade school. I think it does shape, from that we'll call it socialization, early on into, maybe it's a socialization into patriotism. I don't think that's at least my children's experience.
Yeah, I said the Pledge of Allegiance, through elementary school, maybe through middle school, but definitely not into high. Well, can't remember. And if that tells you anything about the effect that it had on me, I guess that's not something that is like front of mind, even if it was something I did do every day. I think for me, even if I had said it all the way through high school, coming into adulthood and seeing the difference between like the lofty kind of aspirational brand of American patriotism that exists, that I think is something worth loving. Like, I think it's incredible to like aspirationally love something and say, I want this to be the best that it can be because I see the possibilities of it. But then also seeing like, I don't feel like I can necessarily buy onto this because I don't feel bought into. I don't feel connected to the government institutions. I don't see myself reflected in them. I don't see them serving my interests, and I don't see, silly things like the budget of our country and what it goes to. I don't know if that aligns with what I think, is important for our country if we want to continue progressing and being better. Mm-hmm. So that might be where that disconnect starts to happen. And I don't know if saying the Pledge of Allegiance every day is enough to counter that, or if it should.
Mm-hmm. Abby, you said you don't feel a connection to government institutions. And I think that probably describes a lot of people, right?
In a lot of different ways.
Yeah, you just said, you expressed it.
We're thinking it.
I was recently doing a little bit of, I did a little bit of searching. One of the things that we see pretty broadly is a generalized decline of trust in institutions mm-hmm. overall. And I came across a year-over-year Gallup poll. They do this every single year about trust in institutions. And the two that rate the highest among respondents to their poll over the last few years are small businesses and the military. Those are the only two out of 14 or 15 that they ask people about where they come back saying, I have quite a bit or a lot of confidence in these institutions. Everything else from government institutions to media, sorry.
You looked at me.
To others are really low. The only two that are above half of respondents are small business and the military. Yeah. And even those have declined year over year. So
that's so interesting. I feel like when I think of small mm-hmm. businesses, that is what so many people I think see as the identity, one of the identities of America, right? Small business, people who you know in your neighborhood or your communities who have these businesses that you can trust, that you can have conversations with and build relationships. And then the military is like what defends that ideal, right? Like I think most adults, most people recognize that we have a very large military because it does protect the institution that we've created, and that is important to a degree. The level to which they do what they do, you can, argue about or disagree on, but that is an important factor.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to steal and continue the Gallup poll from your Hauenstein Center. Information, a 2023 Gallup poll did reveal that 67% of U.S. adults report being extremely patriotic. However, registered Democrats are half as likely as registered Republicans to consider themselves extremely patriotic. Do we want to open this can of worms?
We sure do.
Uh-oh.
So that's something that I've followed through the Common Ground Initiative that I think is fascinating. And one of the things that started on this topic, and I think we've seen it play out within our own staff as well, the different conceptions of patriotism. I would start maybe by laying the groundwork by saying, I think ideologically, there's different conceptions of what it means to be patriotic. Mm-hmm. There's also been time, there was a great book written just a little while ago about this very topic of, like, it seems that the Republican Party has really tried to wrap themselves in the sense of patriotism in response, because we're so polarized. When one party says they're for something, the other party feels like they have to be against it. Yeah. So I don't know how many Democrats are willing to come out and say they're not patriotic. I mean, you see that from President Biden. I think that sense of patriotism, but in the day-to-day, in your daily life, I think that it's become, especially for those of higher socioeconomic status from the Democratic Party, wanting to distance themselves other than this idea of what they would see as a blind patriotism or a blind acceptance of everything that the country does. So I think it's fascinating. I think we'll probably see that play out on our panel as well. Cal Thomas, who's an evangelical conservative commentator, I can guarantee he's going to have no problem saying, I am 110% for patriotism. We need to be instilling that in our kids as early as possible. It speaks to our values and our culture. Whereas Stephen Smith, reading his book, he comes from a more moderate progressive, saying, well, there's room to question. He supports patriotism, but he understands that there's different definitions that we got into a little bit earlier. So I think it's fascinating. Curious to hear, people's own experiences, or maybe the broader question is, what informs your own sense of patriotism? If you were to look back into your own story, your own identity or demographic, what do you have any identities that have informed your sense of patriotism?
That's a great question. Maddie Kaler and I were talking about this in the office before we went up, because I sat down and said, do you guys have a working definition of patriotism before we start talking about it? It'd be nice to know, because it is, people define it differently. And one of the things I threw out was geographical patriotism, this idea of the natural resources. Living in Utah, you probably took advantage of lots of the national parks. Yeah. And it's one of the most, I love that state. It's an incredibly beautiful state. And so there, am I a patriot in the sense that I recognize that America is a really special place in terms of the geographical, the from sea to shining sea patriotism. Maybe we can look at all of the different songs that are the songs of the storied history of America. And maybe I'm a sea to shining sea patriot, where I just love this place for what it has to offer me. And I can look around and feel a deep sense of connection to the actual physical spaces that I'm inhabiting.
I know supporting national parks, I'll concur that I think is part of a foundation of being a patriot. My notes also tell me thanking a veteran or active member of the armed services. I need to be better at that, but that is, I would think, an act of patriotism. Something that's fairly regular when we attend the my running events. Most larger ones are always started with the national anthem, because that certainly will, it brings together a unity of perhaps 20,000 fine folk standing at the starting line. So I guess those repetition activities that maybe stay with us and maybe be better at supporting parts, thanking a veteran, being together in one place.
So, Kaler, if I'm remembering your question, something other than what else in my experience or as part of my identity has shaped my views?
Sure. Yep.
I'd have to say my faith, my religious faith, actually has played a huge role in shaping the way that I think about the United States of America, its role in the world, and its destiny. And Abby, when you mentioned songs, and you mentioned, Shelley, you mentioned the national anthem, I think about From Sea to Shining Sea, that song also, there's so many interesting lyrics in that song, America the Beautiful. In the 1911 version, which is, I think, the one that we, are most familiar with now, where it's this sort of patriotic hymn that says, there's that line, God mend thine every flaw. It's okay to recognize that we're not perfect. It's also this incredibly aspirational thing that we could become better. Mm-hmm. And so I don't see patriotism as a blind devotion, especially not to the government, because if that's the definition we're working on, then depending on who's in power, the other, you know, part of the country is going to be unpatriotic because they're not going to follow the government. I think it's to the ideals of what the country could become.
Yeah.
Ought to become, maybe.
And I think that really nicely ties into the Hauenstein Center's theme of empowered citizenship, right? When we're thinking about, okay, so what are the ways that we help, you know, as you were saying, Shelley, like, these are things that should be taught. These are things that should be, you know, or maybe it was Kayla who was saying it, you know, our children, you know, Cal Thomas would say, our children need to be taught to be patriotic from a young age. Okay, so what does that mean? What does that look like in practice? What are we teaching them? And so that could be that piece of citizenship, right? Of what does it mean? Being patriotic isn't just like standing back and cheering on America as it's going. Like, you're an active participant as a patriot, right? When we think about like the patriots of the American Revolution, they didn't just like cheer America into being. They were acting, they were doing things, they were actively working and changing and building consensus and like coming up with ideas. And so maybe we need to like shift what it means for young people to become patriotic when it means, you know, finding in, you know, ways to be engaged citizens.
John Kennedy: ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Powerful quote on patriotism.
Incredibly powerful, and it has that action orientation both of you are talking about. What can you do? What can you contribute? I think if we lift together, we go so much farther. But and I'm struck by the polarization. You know, it's come up in the conversation, not that we're polarized, but thinking about the polarization of the country. Is patriotism a force for good? I think is a really relevant question. If it's weaponized in a polarized political climate, then I don't know that it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I would describe it as a force for good if it's weaponized that way. But if it's mobilized for a common good, mm-hmm. then I think it can be an incredibly powerful force for good. So
I do want to ask about, we talked about institutions and we've talked about the next generation. And I think there's a connection there. To what extent do we try to instill a sense of patriotism? So I want to ask for Abby and Neil to speak to, you both work with students at different levels here at the university. So to what extent do you, in your own work, could you see it as being a way to foster an area where patriotism could be discussed? And then for Shelley, to think about the media, to what extent does the media have a role in shaping our discourse? And, you know, very much a similar question for all of our citizenry to instill patriotism or to offer room to discuss it.
Yeah, I'm happy to jump in. So in my work with the Peter C. Cook Leadership Academy, we work with a cohort of 70 students from all across the university. So these are students from over 40 majors, undergraduate, graduate. We even have a few doctoral level students. And throughout the academic year, they're all engaging with each other in these really rich conversations about leadership and their past experiences. And I would say one of the greatest benefits of that, you know, that's kind of not a piece of the curriculum, but really is the diverse perspectives that they're engaging with. So often we live in these bubbles where we just engage with people who are like us, who have similar beliefs as us, similar backgrounds. And when you can force students into spaces where it's like, okay, you're an engineering student who grew up in East Grand Rapids and has spent your whole life in West Michigan. And now you're engaging with students who are from, you know, who are educators from Chicago and are, you know, business majors from Ghana. Like, it's going to totally change the way that you look at yourself and your community, but it's also going to strengthen your idea of what your community is. So I think that one of our responsibilities as educators at any level is to try and make sure students are engaging with diverse perspectives and so that they understand that what America is much broader than their own experience. And that's okay. And that someone who has a totally different experience and is from a totally different place is as American as they are. So I think that is an interesting piece of it.
Can I jump in on that?
Yeah.
And first of all, I'm glad you, and very appropriately, that you give the shout out to the Cook Leadership Academy because you're tied to it. it's a wonderful program. And the students that I get to work with who go through that Leadership Academy are some of the most incredible people, period. But really just outstanding students. And so as an educator, so a minute ago where I was talking about trust in institutions and probably fairly, but maybe unfairly, I gave a glance over at Shelley about the media, but there is a significant amount of attention being paid to universities and how much people trust or don't trust the universities. Are they places where people go to be indoctrinated in one direction or another, politically speaking? So universities aren't, thriving in terms of high levels of trust compared to media or others, okay? Yeah. That's the environment we work in. But Abby, to something that you said about diverse thought and viewpoints and being exposed to those, it's just so important. It's so important to be able to learn new ways of thinking. Not that you have to agree with, but you learn and understand other points of view. I think that's one of the great benefits of the university. It brings people from different backgrounds, and if we allow them and help foster a climate in which they can agree to disagree, come at each other in a civil way, but not attack each other individually. It's just ideas and thoughts and ways of thinking. It can be an incredibly, beneficial place. So I just wanted to add that onto what you said.
You stole a couple of my terms, thank you, in a good way, from the media, trust and civil discourse in conversation is a must. And I think many news outlets break that. Equal opportunity for all sides to share their side of the story. Obviously, your unbiased opinions. Media should offer perhaps panel discussions or offer ways to allow the public to present in via town halls, etc. Also, in my research, if different news sources use the term patriotic in different ways, someone's source of information could be a meaningful factor in whether they identify with the label. So news journalists need to be skilled and educated in how the terms they use as well.
Yeah, it totally feeds into this idea that those of us, whether we're people who work in the media or educators or, politicians or whoever, there's a level of responsibility when you're given a position of authority to use that to serve the people that are around you, right? You have to, first and foremost responsibility has to be, for us, we work in public service to a degree. So the idea of serving the people that we're working with comes naturally. But anyone in authority has that responsibility. So when that is broken and when that trust is broken, it can be really hard for people to want to align with whatever that person is saying.
That's awesome. I hate to be the person that is we have to move on, because this is such great conversation. And we really hope that this podcast serves as just entry points into more of this conversation. I wanted to end with Abby brought it up earlier. Our theme for the programming at the Hauenstein Center this academic year has been empowered citizenship, just thinking about how we can empower others to be citizens of our country, our world, our communities, and make it a better place. I'd love to just hear from each of you. What does empowered citizenship mean to you?
I would say, you would think that if I was finishing up a year of academic programming with this, I would have a really succinct, well-thought-out answer. To me, empowered citizenship, so I come from a social work background, so when I think about empowerment, I think about giving people the tools to be able to make the change in their life that they want, to be able to accomplish the things that they want. So when you tie those two things together, being a citizen is... it has some practical things like voting and, being engaged in local politics and things like that. But I think that there's also maybe this more, nebulous idea of patriotism or these themes that could come alongside with citizenship is not just doing those things, but actively wanting to. And so empowered citizenship is feeling like you have the tools to do that, that you have the capability to be engaged and to want to be engaged. So, putting all of those things together, that's how I feel about it. Mm.
If you have the opportunity to serve your community, your country, at all, just say yes. Just do it and be a role model.
Love that. Become educated on the issues, on not just, it's, there's this acronym we talk about, NIMBY, not in my backyard. When something touches your life really closely, you tend to get more, become more educated about it, and you try to exercise voice. Maybe just a more broad recognition that it's all your backyard. Everything really does have an impact on your life. So become broadly informed about the issues. That's why I think the media becomes very important that way. Try to exercise voice in the process, whether that's through voting or showing up to meetings or helping other people get involved. But I'll just put it down to an invitation, and I'll just state it as something that we could do the way that Shelley just did. If there's something that you could stop doing now that would make your neighborhood and your relationships with those around you better, would you stop doing it? If there's something you could start doing to be more engaged and lift your community, could you start doing it? I think if we just thought at that level about we may not reshape Washington, D.C., but we can start with our neighborhood, we can start with our homes, we can start with our communities, and I think that's a really valuable place to start.
Wow, that was fabulous and inspiring. Thank you so much to our guests for joining us. I felt like the entire end there was a great segue to talk about the Common Ground Initiative and our programming, where we want people to come and learn from different sides and then make up their own mind. We're not going to invite anyone who's just going to lecture from one side or the other and say this is the way it should be on any of these topics, right? We want people to come, be broadly learned, to be thoughtful, and to engage with others that think differently from them, so you become a more well-rounded human being. So if you want to do that on the topic of patriotism, wow, do we have an opportunity for you coming up on April 18th. Our Reflections on Patriotism event. We'd love to have you there. We're going to hear much of a similar dialogue from this, but we're gonna keep on it. We're going to keep doing it. For more information about the event coming up, or if you're listening in the distant future, if you'd like a recording of the event, all that will be available in the link in the description. Thank you so much.